This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 251 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
I feel like singing.
Okay, why?
Ring a bell.
Okay. Is this related to my eye injury last week?
Aye.
Right, okay.
I think it might be.
You're right, okay.
I am good at bad puns.
So Rob Coates tells us.
Aye. how's your eye, my friend?
It is better, thank you. Thank you. I have no idea what it was. I have no idea what I got in there.
Can I just say one thing in empathy for you? Yeah. You weak bastard. Weak. Oh, come on. Oh, I can't record tonight. My eye hurts.
Mate.
What part of your eye do you use to record a podcast? It's not like video. It's not like I can see you crying on TV and worrying about it.
Seriously, it was that painful. I couldn't have focused on anything.
Couldn't have focused on anything. I feel for you, mate. It's all good.
Oh, dear.
So other than scraping your eyeball, what have been up to the last week or so?
Not a lot. Just work and home and work and home. And yeah.
So when you said your eye was hurting, I thought maybe you'd been at the fire spinners and they'd flung a bit of flame in your eye or something.
I wish it was something that exciting. But no, it wasn't. No, so I didn't get down there to the fire twirlers this week, so hopefully next week. I won't get down there this week because tomorrow night's Wednesday night and Springsteen's playing in Sydney, so you know what that means.
Yeah.
Say no more.
having lost a friend recently to Bruce Springsteen for the month, I understand.
Yes. So did you hear about the show in Melbourne on Sunday night?
Which one?
Springsteen.
Oh, okay.
Care factor, nil.
I heard some stuff. Seems my now long distance friend was at it.
Yeah.
What part are you referring to specifically?
Well, the length of it at 3 hours and 40 minutes.
That's mad, isn't it?
Is huge. And he played the entirety of the Born to Run album in sequence.
Wasn't that Sunday night? He did Born in the USA one night, and
that was the second night in Adelaide. He did Born in the USA.
No, he did them both in Melbourne too.
Is that right?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Both born. So he was born and then he was reborn. Like,
right.
But you know what?
Anyway.
Who cares? It's only Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, I knew you'd say that.
I've just offended half of our multitude of listeners. Hundreds of listeners. I think as I was saying to a guy the other day, when I was helping a friend move house, who's also a Springsteen fan, he goes, "What, you don't love Bruce?" I said, "Well, you know, he's all right. Yeah, I wouldn't change channels on the radio if he was on, but I wouldn't go out and buy a record. You know,
you don't know what you're missing."
No, I do.
No,
I've
you don't.
A lot of it.
Trust me, you don't.
Each to their own.
That's it. Anyway. Through the week, we got an email from Rob Coates over in Perth, which I alluded to a moment ago.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. It went straight over your head.
Oh, didn't it come to me at all?
Like 90% of the podcast.
Did I get it? Was it sent to me?
I don't think it was sent to you. I think it might have come just straight to me.
See, and you wonder why I don't know anything about it.
There you go.
You just keep me in the dark. Go on. Pray tell, what was our friend Rob saying?
He said, "G'day, fellas. My sympathy for the injured eye, Bruce. Although I've never
g'day fella, because he just said it to you.
Although I've never heard a cornea excuse.
He's been learning
from you. Two things. A couple of times, Bruce, you've mentioned in a throwaway comment the photographer's ephemeris. I downloaded it and have found it very useful a couple of times. For example, it showed me exactly where and when to set up to get some shots of the full moon setting behind the South Mole Lighthouse in Fremantle. Shots turned out not too shabby at all, I'm pleased to say." And Glyn, several months...
First up, it's your turn to apologise for handing out something useful.
Yeah. Yes. My apologies for handing out useful information. Yes. And Glyn, several months ago, you mentioned DxO Optics Pro.
I did.
Haven't commented further on whether you use it or not. I downloaded it at a discounted price, as luck had it, and it's now usually the first step in my post-processing workflow, followed by Photoshop Elements 10 and Topaz plugins. It's extremely good for reducing noise and adjusting contrast. It's amazing the detail it can bring out in a backlit subject. Thanks for the show. I always look forward to your tips, comments, reviews, and not least, the dad jokes. Regards, Rob Coates, Perth.
Well, as for the DxO, I've never really sort of admitted to this, I don't think, on the podcast much. I have a particular medical complaint that I only know the Latin name to. I don't know like the English name, so forgive me for trying to sound impressive and stuff.
Right.
I suffer from laziest photographer's bastardus.
Right. Okay.
And that's, you know.
And how does that manifest itself?
Well, it manifests in, you know, I'll look at that DxO software next week. You know, I'll look at that DxO software next week. Yeah. You know, it's pretty much repetitive syndrome, really. It's like RSI.
Fair enough.
And so I managed quite nicely to avoid the two emails from the marketing manager begging me for comment on it.
Right.
By simply not replying.
Right.
Yeah.
You can do that next week as well.
Well, that's been on for months. It was a couple of months ago. I think he's given up. Look, but what Rob says is absolutely spot on. What that thing can do to bring out detail from backlit scenes and stuff is quite astounding.
Yeah.
And it is once again, very, very good for noise reduction as well whilst maintaining detail. So for what I have done with it, I'll definitely agree on those two things. Where else it's useful, I don't know.
Right.
I haven't really sort of,
installed it.
Well, I've got it installed. I've used it. I've used it a few times.
Right.
I just haven't explored it. I just haven't got into, other than those few things, the noise reduction and the ability to pull detail out of a scene, I haven't really done a lot more with it.
Right.
So, Rob, send us a review.
I'm a little bit the same in that I downloaded the, whatever that thing was we talked about last week, Effects.
The On One Perfect Effects 8 or what it was?
Yeah. I've downloaded it, but I haven't installed it.
Unless you've got access to the free already, you'd have to. Yeah.
Because I kind of looked at the website, as it was downloading, I was looking at the website and going, well, I can do all this in Photoshop and Lightroom. I don't know why I need another program to do the same thing.
If you don't have Photoshop and Lightroom, it's standalone, so you can use
it. Oh, well, if you don't have Lightroom and Photoshop, for sure.
Well, it has some different effects and some different feels and some different. This overall, I mean, yes, you can probably do it in Photoshop or Lightroom, but does this, some of these do it easier, quicker, faster, better workflow, etc.? There's always...
Right.
So that's what I find with all software programs is, I can do that in this one, but that's going to take this amount of time, or I could do it really quick on this one.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
That's why I kind of jump between so many different software programs is because I find... simpler ways or quicker ways of achieving what I want. The other problem, of course, is I never know how I want a photo to look.
Right.
I'm grasping at straws to find out what the final product's going to look like, and I won't know until I get to it.
Right.
I'll know when I'm there.
Okay.
But I don't know when I start out often.
Right.
I might have a feel that I'm looking for, but the end product may take on a life of its own and sort of head its own way. It's a bit like writing a book.
Yeah, right.
Never thought of that before. But it's like, you start off thinking what the story is, but it sort of tends to having a bit of a life of its own often.
Hmm, interesting.
So, that's what I find. Like, I did a shot last week's studio workshop. The only good one I took for the day is once I got rid of the customers and did one myself. Did one myself at the end. I wanted a fairly warm and sort of textured sort of feel to this shot with a big flowing dress.
Ah, yes.
And candelabra and all that sort of stuff. And, what I wanted, I didn't actually end up getting, but I got something different, which I still like,
Right.
Just kind of took on a life of its own. It felt what I did felt right, and so therefore I kept on following it.
Fair enough.
And that's why I'll often pop between programs because they may help me tell the story in different ways or open my eyes to other ways of telling the story.
Yeah, that's an interesting approach.
Yeah, it's great for those with ADD. You know, you don't spend too much time doing one thing. You can just flip between them all.
Fair enough. Okay. We heard from Adam Davidson through the week.
You haven't asked about my week.
Oh, sorry, mate. How was your week?
That was all right.
What have you been up to?
Well, I had a lovely friend of mine from the US of A called Erin Manning.
Oh, yeah.
Photographer friend of mine. Yeah. She was on a cruise ship and she was in Melbourne for a couple of days. So we went and hung and took up into the hills and we wandered dangerous, you know, windy streets on the edges of precipices whilst cars and logging trucks flew past at perilously close angles and took photos and had fun. So it was a great day out just shooting.
Cool.
A combination between iPhone and real, in, you know, little parenthesis, real camera.
Yep.
And just something I haven't done in ages. Just go, just snap photos for the fun of it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just go out, just enjoy taking photos.
Fantastic. I need to do more of that.
Exactly. I mean, and I do too. So I spend so much time working.
Yep.
Or thinking about work, or thinking about vision for work, that actually just going out and taking a photo of a plant just because it was cool is something I haven't done in a long time. So that was kind of fun. So I received a new lens yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I got the new Tamron 150 to 600 arrived.
Wow.
And so tomorrow I'm going to go out and take some photos just for the fun of it.
Nice.
Using that bad boy. So
now, what did you I think you did tell me the aperture range on this, but just refresh my memory.
5 to 6.3.
Geez, that's not bad.
Well, you think, 600. Now, I put that on my crop sensor. In other words, my not 35 mil sensor.
It's going to be like a 900 mil lens.
Yeah, 900 and something or other it's going to be.
Wow.
Which is said, it's pretty effective.
Yeah.
900 mil 6.3 is pretty darn nice.
Oh, yeah.
And took a shot of the moon last night just for 960 mil. There you go. I just did the calculation because brain's not smart enough. 960 mil 6.3.
Wow. And how did the moon come up?
It was kind of whitish with traces on it.
Did it fill the frame of the image?
No. You still wouldn't. Even 1,000 mil, you wouldn't. But it was probably a quarter of the frame.
Okay.
Maybe pushing a third.
Right.
Ish. But the thing's sharp enough and deep enough that you could crop it into just the moon, and the detail was all just wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It was sharp as a nun's tongue.
Right. Okay.
So I've only done literally three shots out the driveway of the moon so far, and because it's apparently the moon's different tonight than last night, so I might go out and do it again tonight.
I'm pretty sure it's the same one.
Really? you got me, you little ripper! You little ripper!
So is it a heavy lens?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm a bloke. I can't guesstimate length.
Well, like in comparison to say a 70 to 210. Like, is
it this way? The box said weight 5 kilos.
Right.
But there was the box from the.
So you're going to say it had an icon of two people carrying a heavy object.
What sort of holding us back? It's definitely a lot heavier than a 70 to 200.
Right.
Because it's like twice the size. When it's zoomed out to 600, I mean, it's like 270 to 200 stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, right. Wow.
It's a true compensator. So I would put it in the sort of maybe two-ish kilos, 4 or 5 pound weight.
Yeah, right.
So it's got a bit of heft.
Yeah.
So, but I did a couple of quick feels and just handheld, and it seems fine handheld.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the image stabilizer and a decent shutter speed, I'm sure it's more than capable of capturing a reasonable amount of shots, but I'll know tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
Report it next week. I'm actually doing a video in the morning of the unboxing of the lens.
Okay.
So what I have to do first is rebox it.
Nice.
I thought I might do the world's first ever photo of a reboxing of a product.
This is crap. I'm sending it back.
I enjoyed taking it out of the box so much, I'm going to do it again, So I'm going to rebox it in the morning and then I'll do a video of unboxing and a first/third impressions of that, and then I'll go out and shoot and include the photos in the video. So hopefully I have that done before next week, and we can include it in the show notes.
So I'd love to know what the minimum focusing distance is when you're shooting it at 960 mil on your crop sensor.
2.7 metres.
Okay. That's not too bad. So, I thought you were going to say 2 kilometres.
Yeah, through the back of your head. No. What's that? So it's about 8 feet for those who don't those metres, or 2.5 big steps if you're totally – so totally can't judge distance at all. Mm-hmm. Right? Build quality is fantastic. Not that I'd know because I haven't unboxed it yet.
Yep.
The build quality is great. The focusing speed's more than satisfactory. I mean, it was picking up the moon and no problem at all. The focus speed was fantastic for nighttime shooting. So I was pretty impressed with that.
Cool.
So I'm enamored. I've got a bikini shoot babes on a beach next week, so I'm looking forward to using it there.
Right.
You know me. Yeah.
Excellent.
I've got the walkie-talkies.
Yeah. Going to need them.
And the relays and the cans with a big long piece of string up to her ear, that sort of stuff. We've got it all going on.
Yeah.
So my week's been kind of good. I've had a bit of a play with a new lens. I've been out with a photography friend, and she's the only person in the world I know who kind of does what I do.
As far as
she's a one-man business, or one-woman business in her case. She runs workshops. She does tours. She does she used to have her own TV show in the US, all sorts of stuff. She's done a lot of we have similar sort of thoughts on the world of photography, because we see it from we're not necessarily from a photographer's viewpoint, and not really from an amateur's viewpoint, and not from a wholesaler's viewpoint. We have a very unique perspective on the industry because we train people.
Yep.
That was great to hang out and chew the fat and talk work stuff.
Cool. Which is good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Then I've been hunting down like a squizzillion things to talk about tonight.
Oh, okay.
It's been down that I did that. Yeah, actually, I lie. I did most of that last week, but then some wuss rang up. So my iPad, like I've sort of held on to those, which is kind of good. Didn't have to do too much this week.
So what do you got?
I came across some interesting little Lightroom tutorials that some people who are starting out might like.
Yeah.
From a website called Lightroom Wizards.
Okay.
And a guy called Dave Brosha, Brosha. And he's only got a handful or two tutorials on there, but they're pretty darn good. And if you're starting out, I think you could find a lot worse places to learn the fundamentals of how Lightroom works. So that was pretty darn good.
Nice.
So I recommend it if you just jumped on, maybe you just bought the $10 Adobe offer and you've got onto that.
Yep.
Then I saw a great announcement this week of a cash grab by the internet. It's announced .photography domain names.
Wow.
So you can now be brucewilliams.photography.
Wow.
And for $25 or something a year, you can really brand yourself in quite an interesting way.
Yeah. So they're available now?
They are. Yeah, they started in December. I've already bought brucewilliams.photography, so it's going to cost a bit. You want to buy it. Adam Davidson, Carl Hemmings, Rob Coates. I've got you. Every listener, I've already bought .photography, so you want it? you're talking to me, Forget the $25 for you people.
Nice.
But wow. Erin King, don't think you're out of it either. You're done. I'm trying to think of as many listeners as I can quickly off the top of my head.
Mike Holman.
Yeah, Mike Holman, dot photography, got that, yeah. And that's kind of cool. I think that's a great way of for marketing. And you forget this .com. It might be a little hard to explain to customers, to people. They may struggle. They may do Bruce Williams photography.com.
It wouldn't really matter. At this point in the game, you'd be crazy not to do the land grab.
Absolutely.
Even if you didn't use it straight away, like me, you've got, brucewilliamsphotography.com and you kept on using that, but you could always move your site to, brucewilliams.photography and then keep brucewilliamsphotography.com as a redirect.
Exactly.
And, people will soon pick up on it, because, websites are going to start appearing left, right and centre in the coming days, you can imagine. photography on them.
So I thought that was a pretty cool little thing.
Totally.
For those out there interested, jump on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn cool. Pretty darn cool. Now, in my often desire to find interesting top X amount of things to solve the world of photography problems, top five, I came across how to be a cool photographer this week.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, well, I need that. Frankly, I was how in the hell do I do that? And I found by chance, if I can get this sign to actually open up, that I've actually got there already. I've actually got one of the. I'm part way towards cool.
Right.
Yeah. So most of it was kind of crap. You know, like hold your camera correctly.
Right. Now, look,
I can admit, I'm fairly stickler with that as well, but it doesn't mean it's going to make you cool.
No.
Just holding it correctly. Don't act like a tourist. And what he means by that is don't walk around with your strap around your neck.
Right.
Just strap around neck equals tourist is exactly the phrasing on this particular. Fantastic. Fantastic. You know? So all you strap wearers out there, hello. How uncool are you thinking right now, hey? How uncool do you guys feel? Unbelievable. But the one I got, fortunately, was have a beat-up camera. As he says, there's nothing cooler than a worn-out camera. It shows the photographer actually used it as a tool and hasn't kept it on the shelf. It can also be an awesome conversation subject with whoever you're working with. Take that camera and push it to its limits. That's why you spent thousands of dollars on it, to beat it up.
Right.
Oh, I reckon if you were moderately careful, you could still take lots of great photographs and not beat your camera to pieces. I'm not of that school, obviously, because I do tend to destroy a fair bit of gear. But that's what I said. I'm on my way to cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I just had to share that because it was a little ego boost for the week for me.
Fair enough. What else have you got?
Did you happen to see the most beautiful girl? No. Did you? No, anyway, I'll stop that song. The new Sigma DP2 Quattro.
Oh, it sort of passed across my radar, but I didn't go back to look at it. What was the fun thing? It's the one with the weird body, isn't it?
It's an incredibly weird body. Yes. You're thinking, how in the hell are you going to hold that?
It's the elephant man of cameras.
It is. I am not a camera. I'm some weird stretched out thing with a weird angle.
Yeah. What was the design philosophy behind that weird shape? Was there a reason for it?
You know, it's like, I want to do something different. So we went really different.
Right.
Apparently it's supposed to be, according to them, a really cool way to hold a camera. But I suppose you couldn't really comment until you got to hold one. So it was, what was very strange is that they actually brought out a range of cameras, the DP1, DP2, DP3, etc.
Right.
And one has a 19mm lens, one's got a 30mm lens, one's got like a 75mm, they've got 50mm lens. They're all got they're fixed lens cameras, but they're all different fixed lenses.
So you've got to buy all four cameras, do you? So you got the whole set.
Yeah. Oh, don't change lenses, change cameras.
That is bizarre.
That I thought was a bit odd.
Yeah.
The Sigma have always had a bit of a different way of looking at stuff. But they do use the Foveon image sensor.
Right.
Which is a very different sensor design than pretty much anyone else is using.
Okay.
Once again, in my knowing how tech I am, I don't want to sort of bore people by... But going into all the details of the layering, the colours that they use, but go check it out online. I actually did an advert for Sigma cameras years ago, and I had to. It was the Foveon X3 image sensor. I had to sort of
right.
I had to do the deep voiceover, and I was on. I was pointing. I was supposed to be like this this advertising guy, and the client had come to look at the images we were preparing for the advert. And she's looked at them and go, oh, the quality is amazing. And I say, yes, that's because it's taken with the Foveon X3 image sensor. And I had to know that, the Price is Right.
The
point to the car. I had to point to the camera.
Oh, yeah, that didn't cheesy.
It didn't last long on television for some reason. I was hoping for an Oscar, but yeah, I tried the deep voice and everything, but didn't do squat. You know? But yeah, that's a bizarre and unusual way of doing the camera. And, you know, if they're out to win the award for the least selling camera of the year, I reckon they're on their way.
Right.
I think they've got a chance. There's probably a few more out there. That Hasselblad thing, if you ever saw that weird ass strange hybrid Sony Hasselblad camera.
No.
Google that sucker up and look at an abomination of a camera.
Right.
I reckon that might have sold in the threes.
Right.
Oh dear. So I don't know what Hasselblad were thinking with that one, but anyway.
All right. Okay.
Yes, that. And I played around a few new apps this week. When I was with Erin, she was showing me the iMovie app for iPhone and iPad.
Right.
And what she does with it. And the thing's just astounding. For a $5 piece of software, that if you're a photographer and you want to put a nice bit of flashy sort of, a couple of little 30-second video on the front of your website just to sucker people in, this thing's astounding. It's style. It's all templated.
Yep.
And you can choose that. It'll actually guide you to the type of shots to take to make the video exciting.
Okay.
As in duration, angles, how many people in the shot, how far away you are from everything. It's quite tremendous.
So you're talking about shooting video with your camera for use in the video.
With your phone or with your camera and then uploading to your iPad and doing the editing on the iMovie. And it's just quite amazing. Just quite amazing what it can do. So once again, for a $5 piece of software.
Yeah, right.
And the stuff she's doing, she's trying to get another TV show up on the US.
Yeah.
So she's putting together all these little flash reels of stuff that she's done. And, all put together with to put it together with this iMovie app. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Cool.
So anyway, just a little bit. And then she also showed me one called Facetune.
Right.
Which now Erin, if anyone wants to look her up, Erin Manning. She's not Mannish, she's just Manning. She's not the youngest person in the photo industry, She's not old. She's like my sort of age,
Yeah.
She's younger than you, Bruce. No, how old are you again?
45.
Oh no, she's older than you.
Okay.
She's my age. So she travels the world a lot, and she's in all these exotic places on these cruise ships and stuff. And so she likes to do selfies of herself to show people all the, make people jealous, show them all the great places that she's at.
Right.
And so she uses this little face tune one to get rid of the wrinkles, to lift up the chin, maybe get rid of the chicken wing under the arm, all sorts of stuff. And it's amazing what this app can do, once again, for cleaning up a photograph. It's astounding. Yeah, it's got all the tricks that you'd expect from Photoshop, all on this little $2 app or something.
Right. Speaking of which, did you get to see that video? I mentioned it a few episodes back of the retoucher doing like Photoshop retouching, but it was on a moving video picture. Did I get you that link?
Probably, but I probably wouldn't have looked at it.
No, probably not. That was amazing. Anyway.
Was it about me?
No.
Then there's no point.
Exactly.
Yeah, and unless you're sending through links of people talking about me.
Right.
It's hardly worth it, really. It's just enough to have to think about it.
Right.
No. Good, was it?
It was. It was amazing. Like, it was a video, like, the footage that he was using to demonstrate was just a girl facing a camera, and it was for a music video clip. So it starts out where she's just looking at the camera and she's not singing because, it's the intro of the song. And then, when the song gets going, she starts singing just direct to camera, and it's like one static shot. But this retoucher was doing all the sorts of things that you do to retouch a portrait in Photoshop, except he was doing it in some software that does it on a moving image. So he would lighten.
Oh, you talked about it. I remember that.
Yeah, and he would lighten the skin across her cheeks or whatever, and that painted in effect would then track her face as her face moved within the frame.
That's astounding. It
was mind boggling.
Well, it looked like it needed at least like a 286 computer or something. Yes. You need something fairly,
at
fairly,
least
fairly punchy. Maybe a VGA monitor or something.
Yeah, probably.
Three and a half inch floppy,
and probably all of 1 megabyte of RAM.
That much? Oh, I'm done for then. My 512K is just dropped. Yeah. The thing is, whilst we laugh at that, that's how I used to be. I sold an Olympus 300mm f/4 lens to upgrade to a 5 1/4 inch floppy drive.
Yeah,
many years ago, because I was tired of the cassettes. Yeah.
Well, we laugh about it, but the desktop computer that I have at home at the moment is a quad core 2.2 gig, so it's about 4 or 5 years old now, and I'm running 6 gigs of RAM. And I was trying to mix a song the other night, and my computer was absolutely choked. Like, I called up the task manager, and all 4 cores were running at 98%.
Oh, man.
And I was like, I really need an upgrade. This is crazy. And so then I went browsing eBay looking at parts, and these days you can get 8 core and 12 core processors, and it's like, wow, it's just crazy.
I need.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see, what else have I got on my list of things? I did say, I can't find the link now, but my friend Bill Geckis commented on somebody's rant on the internet today about somebody's put on Craigslist a request for wedding photographs to use for their website to show them off as a wedding photographer. So right. Somebody who's starting out and they want to buy other photographers' images to use on their website to sell as, this is what I took, this is the quality of work you can get when you book me. But he's prepared to pay between $75 and $150 depending on the quantity of images. Yeah. Must have no watermarks, but he also did say he wouldn't put his own watermark on it.
Right.
He wants as many images from other photographers as possible to pass off of his own.
I don't know whether to absolutely crucify the guy for being an idiot and a fraud, or whether to praise him for not being another one of those people who just goes and steals the images without.
Yeah. Hey, at least I paid for it. At least I paid for it. It's tough when you're starting out if you haven't got a body of work.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I had a guy, one of my Facebook connections, someone was following my web page. And I saw his feed somehow, during the news feed, and he was showing off his new business card. He was starting off as a photographer, showing off his new business card, and he wanted people to comment. And
right. Yeah.
You did that. Well, do you really want genuine comment, or are you just wanting people of fluffy pillows?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh no, this is a serious business. I want proper comment. And I said, well, let's look at what your business is. You say you do weddings, engagements, births, baby photos and stuff. That's your heading of all the stuff you do. That's on your business card. Then you've got half a dozen photos on your business card. One's a seagull eating a chip. One's a bee on a flower. One's like a garbage can next to a fence post. And the only slight hint of a person in any of them is a glove. Somebody's got a gloved hand in corner of one shot.
Right.
And I paid for him. I said, look, if you're going to be a wedding / engagement / people photographer, put some people photos on your business card. So he came back and absolutely slammed me with horrendous torrent of language. To which he's like, dude, I thought you wanted honest critique. And he's going, well, I haven't effing got any effing work because I just effing started. I said, well, it's a fair point that you make. Then don't have any images on your card.
Yeah.
Just have your business name, what you do, and your contact details.
Yeah.
Do that, and then when you meet the people, you can talk to them and say, look, I haven't done much. That's why I'm only this price, and you sell yourself that. But no, he got all his friends to flame me as well. So that was a fun couple of weeks. you try and help somebody out, Bloody Canadians. He was a Canadian. Bloody Canadians. But speaking of fake wedding photographers, as we just were a second ago before I waxed lyrical into something else, there was an article I was reading, and somebody else, about a photographer in the US, a wedding photographer who'd scammed $140,000 from couples.
What?
And it was basically, you know, he either didn't provide work, that finished stuff, all this on and on and on. Yeah, really poor quality. It's got here, he's been charged with 6,000 accounts of theft by deception and 6 of impersonation after scamming 38 couples out of nearly $140,000. Now, frankly, I say to the guy, well, mate, kudos. If nothing else, at least charging a decent bloody fee. Because, you know, if you can, he's charging almost $4,000 US a wedding.
At least he's not underselling himself.
Exactly. You know? So that's 38 people have propped out nearly $4,000 for this guy based on what work. And you know, but he's charging a decent fee. You know? So people out there who aren't think you might be undercharging for your work, you'll consider that. This guy can't take photos at all. He's $4,000 for a wedding.
Jeez.
How much are you charging?
Unreal.
So that was a New Yorker. Yeah. No more.
Well, interesting that you should mention, you know, the the business side of photography.
Was it?
Because, well, sort of.
But, it was, yeah. It was semi-interesting, you said.
Yeah. I came across an article, and this is slightly not safe for, well, no, this part's all right. This part's okay. This was a story that I came across last week on a blog called BigBoldImpact.com. And it's all about the story of a friend of the blogger in question. And this particular guy, the friend of the blogger, was a guy who, living in a town in Mississippi, working in a Christian ministry role, but on the side was shooting porno films.
Oh, yeah. So normal, yeah.
Exactly. Right. And this guy, you know, he was borrowing the equipment that was owned by the church to shoot the porn.
Bless him.
Now, as bizarre as the story is, the thing that the reason I brought this up was because
it's funny.
There's that, but halfway through the blog post was the heading, 5 Marketing Secrets from a Part-Time Pornographer. And these, I thought, were very interesting. Number one, be the market. You've got to know your customer before you can effectively sell to them. The most effective way to do this is to be your customer. So I thought that was an interesting first point. The second point, they zig, you zag. It's hard to compete with the big boys when you're playing the same game. Could you compete with McDonald's on convenience? Could you compete with FedEx on speed of delivery? Probably not. And so it was going on about, you know, you need to do things differently to the bigger competitors. Number three, start where you are. There is never the perfect time to start. You'll never have the best equipment, the budget you want, or everything else falling into place at the same time.
Yeah, or just borrow the equipment.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Number four, own 100% of the content.
Yeah.
Apparently, in the porno industry, the quote unquote actors get paid a performance fee and that's it. There are no royalties after that, which is crap for the actors, but it's great for the studio because they can repurpose the content as many times as they like and sell it on in as many different formats as they like.
Yeah. I've got my favorites on multiple copies in both, you know, Beta, VHS, Laserdisc, DVD, and now on Blu-ray. You know?
So excellent.
That's made a fortune.
And number five, keep your mouth shut. This guy...
I don't understand that. What does that mean?
Talking about the business, not about what goes on in the business. Just about, you know, not spreading the word. Like, well I mean, obviously, careful. You know, you want to spread the word about what you do, but... The point of... Yeah, because I don't want to read the whole thing out on the podcast. People can go and read it for themselves. But the idea was... Don't blab on about what you're doing in your business.
Yeah.
By all means, you know, promote your business and what you do, but don't, you know, share details of what you're doing because, you know, you tell one person, they tell another person, suddenly gets into the ears of your competitors and suddenly they're, you know, jumping the gun on your marketing strategies and things like that. So it was very interesting that, you know, out of this weird story came these five really interesting marketing tips.
And very, very spot on points, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've only, you know, sort of touched on them briefly. It's worth a read. It's not a massively long read. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, do.
The other not safe for work element of the show was this great photographic series. I don't know if anyone else saw this. It was sort of floating around a couple of weeks ago. This guy who photographed his lovely wife naked while she was doing her yoga poses.
As you do,
yeah. Clearly, I was only looking at this for the lighting.
Oh, absolutely.
And the lighting was spectacular.
So,
I'll put the link in for that in the show notes as well. Go and check it out.
It's not work friendly. So if you listen to this at work,
A,
get back to work. Yeah. You know, B, yeah, don't pop onto that one. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but check out the lighting. Great lighting.
Earlier, you mentioned the name Adam Davidson.
I was coming back to that. A week or so back, Adam posted something on the Facebook page. He said, I'm on Ken Duncan's mailing list and just got an email about this doco that they're using crowdsourcing to get up and running. And it's a link to an Indiegogo campaign. And he said, I'm tipping that between Ken and Ray Martin, they could probably have fully funded this themselves. The rewards don't seem like they're good value, but I am keen to see the doco if and when it's released. And I'll put that link in the show notes as well. And if anyone is interested, here is the latest on the LED light cube you guys mentioned on the podcast last year. I'm eagerly awaiting my copy. And so this was the just brief blurb from Nathan, the CEO who we had on the podcast. He said, Hi, Cubists. January has been a busy time for us with many of the elements coming together in our final pre-production models. As of this week, we now have a semi-functional build of the product. Our current status is as follows. And then he runs through the different parts of the, you know, the whole product, the main casing assembly, the LCD display, the membrane keypad, the plastic rear assembly, the battery, the electronics, the lensing assembly. And then he closes off with, once these products have arrived, we can complete the assembly and we'll have 100% operational pre-production units to evaluate and test. So it sounds like it's coming together.
Yeah, extremely slow. I mean, they're 3 or 4 months behind where they said they would. They should have had shipped product last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I know there is a lot of people on Kickstarter, etc., or Indiegogo, I think it was.
Yep.
Pretty disappointed that it's the lack of updates and the lack of connection with essentially their financial backers.
Right. Yep.
So there's a bunch calling for refunds, but hopefully they can get past all that. Obviously, it takes longer to bring something together than they think, especially if you've never done it before.
I've never gone down the path of trying to, you know, pull together something like this and, you know, source manufacturing of components to put a product together. But I can only imagine what a nightmare it must be.
And to placate thousands of people, hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waiting for their product already. That's the thing with this crowdsourcing. That can be great, but, man, if you've got a lot of very angry people if you don't
deliver. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. If you don't live up to your promises.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll stay in touch with Nathan, and when they do get product ready to, you know, ship and, you know, demonstrate, we'll certainly get him back on and have another chat.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting a set when the pre-production ones are out to go and put it to its paces. So
cool.
We'll see how it goes.
Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to giving a good old fire up and see how they go, because it could be fun.
Yeah. And the last thing that I had was a thing that Mike Holman posted on the Facebook page, which was to a YouTube video for a thing called the Sensor Gel Stick. And this is a new, you know, DSLR sensor cleaning apparatus, which is, I'm assuming that it's available now. And basically, it looks like a You know those anti-coal tablets?
Yep.
Yeah. It looks like a blue one of those on the end of a paddle pop stick, and you stick it down on the sensor, and it kind of has a, you know, just a lightly adhesive kind of tackiness to the gel that collects all the dust, and even should you use it on your ends of your lenses, if you've got, like, fingerprint, or, you know, grease and oil from your fingers and whatnot, it'll even remove that. I have to say, I was a little bit loath at the idea of something that's sticky and tacky sticking that onto the sensor inside my camera body. I was a little bit hesitant
Other brands have similar sort of things, and people with magnifying glasses that look down inside your camera. And, you know, I'm probably a bit the same. I'm fairly rough with my gear, but I don't know if I'd be quite game to. I think some crap. I'm the world's worst handyman, so I know if I did do that, I'll just put it through something. I'll get distracted.
You mentioned the magnifying glass. That sounds very much like you're talking about the lens pen, which is what I use.
That's another version, yeah.
I really like that for a couple of reasons. The thing about the lens pen is it's got that sort of black plastic hood thing that it has a magnifying glass in the top.
Yeah.
And you put your camera into cleaning mode, so the mirror flips up so you can actually see the sensor. You lay your camera body on its back on a table, then you put this thing over the whole of the opening into the camera body, and the black plastic thing is the same diameter, and so you're looking down through the magnifying glass at your sensor, but in and underneath the black plastic thing are four little LED lights, so they're shining really nice bright light directly onto the sensor.
Yeah.
So you can actually see the dust really clearly. And then the lens pen itself is just this, it's like a pen with a felt tip on the end, and you just, collect the bits of dust with the felt. Yeah.
They're like about $100 a kit or something.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. But a great system. I love it. I take that with me everywhere.
Really?
Yep.
Excellent.
Because particularly if you go out on a week-long shoot or something, and particularly when you're changing lenses out in the field, when you're on a beach or, you're out in the bush, that's when you're going to get crap inside your camera. Fine inside the studio, but it's when you're outdoors and shooting and changing lenses in an outdoor environment, you're just always collecting dust.
It depends what you shoot, too.
Well, yeah.
It does. I mean, like, I'm, as a portrait shooter, I almost never see dust in my photos. Almost never. The only time I ever do is when I'm shooting flash. I'm using, F-16, F-22 to knock down ambient. Then I see dust.
Yeah, right.
If you're a landscape shooter and you're shooting those sort of apertures all the time, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Because of the aperture you're using. But if you're shooting a landscape at 2.8, same situation, you probably won't see it.
Yeah.
So it does depend on the aperture you're using. It will make so the type of photography you do may make dust more of an issue. Like, I've never had a sensor clean in my life. I know that might surprise you, Bruce. But at the same time, I almost never see dust.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
with the exception of some flash stuff, as when I'm using F-16, F-22, F-32, etc. I've got another interesting photography-ish project I've just come across tonight. By chance, I stumbled across this on the New York Times tonight.
Okay.
And it's a photographic project that's being done in New York at the moment.
Right.
And pretty much every single day, 75 three-people teams are driving around the streets of Detroit taking photographs of all the dilapidated, empty buildings.
Oh, okay.
They're mapping all the desolation in Detroit, all the abandoned buildings, all the empty houses, the tens and tens of thousands of them.
Wow.
So they're driving out, so they're trying to, for the first time ever, a city's going to actually have an actual accurate understanding of just how much of their city has been abandoned.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because they're saying they've got something around about there's 380,000 parcels of land in the city.
Right.
And they estimate at least 90 to 100,000 empty buildings.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
90 to 100,000 empty buildings.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. So these guys at Ullerton's driving around.
Sounds like a great place for finding, you know, those kinds of environments for photo shoots. That'd be awesome.
It's remarkable. Some of the stuff I see posted on the net from Detroit is quite astounding.
Yeah, right.
There's a guy on Instagram that I and many, many, many people follow. I think his name's Tony Detroit.
Oh, okay.
All one word, and we just pull it up here. And Tony Detroit, all one word. And it's all he does is just take photographs of, well, it's all he ever posts, is just empty buildings in Detroit.
Yeah, right.
And in an artistic way, you know.
Yep.
But that's astounding, 90,000 to 100,000. But we're talking, some of these are massive, massive buildings. They're not just little.
Yeah.
Yeah, which are massive factories and massive car buildings and all sorts of stuff. So,
wow.
And something that us down here in Australia just couldn't find it hard to imagine.
Yeah. Well, so I know Sydney used to have two really good spots like that. One was the old Dunlop factory at Alexandria.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the tram sheds at Harold Park. And both of those places have now been taken over by developers.
Yeah.
You know, and they were just great, you know, urban decay and full of graffiti and broken furniture and all that sort of stuff.
Same down here. They're getting less and less and less of these places that are either still there or accessible, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was the Beatles who said, things have changed, some for better, some for worse, you know. And Yep. All these things are just all these great places for us photographers have been destroyed. But imagine living in a city where there's 100,000 of them. It's pretty hard for developers to take over those.
Wow.
Plenty of opportunities. It's sad, but there's plenty of opportunities. But I've got one. If you've got anything else, I've got one.
I'm done.
Final thing I would like our listeners to do.
Oh, yeah?
I want to put together a top 20 list.
Okay.
For other people on the internet to abuse. No. No, I want to put together a top 20 photographic quotes. Quotes about photography, inspirational photography quotes.
Okay.
And I want people to send us in their favourite quote on photography.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'd love to see them. Yeah, I'm being genuine rather as opposed to disingenuous.
Yeah.
I'm being genuine for once.
Okay.
Sincere. Yeah, I reek of it right now.
Okay.
So I want to start it off. I've got one to start off. My wife sent this through to me earlier in the week on my phone. I thought, oh, what's... So nice thing. Let's put together a list.
Mm-hmm.
And so her one was this. Photography is an art of observation. It has little to do with the things you see and everything to do with the way you see them.
Right.
So it has little to do with the things you see because the things you see are just...
Yep.
But, and you know that if you and I were to shoot the thing that we saw, we'd both shoot it differently.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's not the things that we see, but the way we see them. And I think that's by a guy called Elliot Erwitt,
right?
Which I thought was a tremendous little quote. So I'd love other people to send through this quote that they sort of hold dear, to send it through and let's compile a list.
Yep. Well, if you've got a favourite photography quote, you can either post it on the Facebook wall, or you can email it through to us, or you can leave it in the comments of the show notes at Shutters Inc.
Absolutely.
What's the website? ShuttersIncPodcast.com.
I don't know. I've never been there.
No, you haven't. Cool.
So yeah, please, in all honesty, people, please send these through to us. I'd love to. I think it really shows the type of listeners we have the quotes and it gives a real good insight into how people think of photography by the words that mean something to them, you know?
Yep. And I tell you what we'll do is we'll continue to push this for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then at the end of February, I'll create a dedicated post on Shutters Inc. podcast.com. I will compile all of the quotes that have been sent in over the preceding 3 or 4 weeks into one big list.
Yes.
So we'll have it all in one place.
Yes.
Sound good?
Love it.
Cool.
I was going to say I could come up with a prize, but the problem is, how do you judge words?
And they're not your own anyway.
Tell you what, exactly. No, we'll give away a couple of free episodes. Has it?
Yeah, sounds good.
It's always the best thing. People are always asking for that. So,
yes.
Yeah. Work up a voucher code, will you, dude?
Awesome.
Excellent.
Done. Mate,
well, I've got one last thing. I know you want to go.
Yeah.
Bacteriography.
Right. Now, I saw you send the link through for this a while back. What was that all about?
This guy has come up with a way of layering bacteria onto photographs.
Right.
To use it as the shading that gives you the detail in the photograph.
Okay. And so it's like a texture?
Yeah, but said living, it produces, and everyone's going to have to go and look at the site because it's too hard to explain.
Okay.
As a video and showing you how he does it. But basically, he grows a culture of bacteria that he harvests from the person he's taking the photograph of, mind you. This is the cool bit.
Okay.
So I'll take a skin scraping off you or whatever and grow a bacterial culture. He then takes an image of the person, creates a halftone image and a black and white version, and then he prints on a transparency, and then he puts a bacteria on top in a large petri dish, and the image is sort of blasted with this bacteria and radiation, and it somehow sort of melds into the photograph and creates this weird dark red blooms of color.
Wow.
It's right.
I'll have to go and check that one out.
I just love the era we're in when people are doing so much weird and unusual stuff with photography.
Yeah.
You know, when people are just I just love that there's so many people trying so much stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it really, really poo-poos this whole concept of what's better, film or digital, and all the other stuff that we get engrossed in. There's so much cool stuff now.
Yeah,
everything's cool. You know.
Yeah.
So enjoy the stuff that you love doing, kind of thing. You know.
Definitely. Anyway,
that's it.
Excellent.
For me.
All right, mate.
So it's good night from me, and it's good night from him.
That's it. Yeah, have a good week.
I will indeed. I'm going off shooting my lens tomorrow, and I'll let you know how I get on.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Have a good one.
I will. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.